The housing affordability crisis in Australia has been a heated issue for so long now. The problem often seems intractable. But perhaps what Australia needs is fresh ideas and some new perspectives on how to tackle rising house prices. Ideas that perhaps are already being tried in other places across the world. ABC foreign correspondent reporter Hamish McDonald has been travelling the world looking for answers. Hamish, thanks for dropping in.
G'day, PK. Nice to speak to you.
So it turns out housing affordability is not just an issue here. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Where have you been and what did you find?
We've looked at a bunch of different places, from New York to Tokyo to London to Copenhagen to Barcelona. And I think the thing that sort of stands out to me as the takeout is that although we talk about it almost every day in Australia, I know you've been dealing with it on Drive, on Aaron Brecky over summer, we talked about it. It's on the television every night. The conversation to some degree is still relatively narrow in terms of the solution side of it. We're very stuck on, you know, is it negative gearing? Is it about capital gains tax discounts? Is it about supply? You know, often these debates get defined by the political parties and the sort of territory in between them. And that prevents us from kind of looking above and beyond that. So that's kind of what we went looking for. And what really stands out is that there are big ideas, big policy fixes that do exist that we're not even talking about here in Australia.
One of the big issues for young Australians is getting the deposit together for their first home. And we understand, of course, we'll know very soon, but that the focus in the budget will be on that side of it. And of course, Australia has attempted that before. This isn't new. We have actually worked on these policies before, the first homeowner grant, for instance. Did you find anywhere that's found a way to tackle that particular part of the problem?
Yeah, there's a really interesting policy fix that we found in the United Kingdom. It has its critics, as with all of these sorts of policies, it must be said. But shared ownership or shared equity is a way that you can get around this deposit issue. As you know, for many young people saving to buy their first property, they sort of set a target for saving the deposit. They give themselves 5 years or whatever it might be to save it. But during that 5 year period, the prices go up even further. And that sort of benchmark or that threshold moves further and further away from them. Shared ownership means that you can, and we followed a character, in fact, a young Australian woman, Alex Bell, who had almost enough to buy a flat in Brixton in London, but not quite enough. So what the developers allowed her to do was buy 60% of the flat. They retained the other 40%. They were a non-profit developer that got some government subsidies to build the development, a housing association, as it were. They kept 40% of it and rented that to her for a discounted price. Within 3 years, though, the property values in Brixton went up further. So the bank then lent her more money based on what she owned to buy the rest of it out. So it created this sort of more gentle takeoff point for a young person to get into the housing market.
And in Denmark, you found some interesting stuff going on as well.
Yeah, I mean, those clever Scandinavians, right? They always seem to have kind
That's what everyone always says. They've got all the answers over there.
I mean, in truth, they don't. You know, that's the thing. Scandinavia is not a utopia of sort of social policy by any stretch of the imagination. They do have big problems. They've got clever design ideas like shipping container housing. We went and saw some of that, and that is fascinating. But I think for me, the thing that was more interesting was their approach to foreign buying, because, you know, we talk about that a lot in Australia, and clearly there's some data that shows it does have a big impact. Denmark makes it very difficult for people, A, to speculate on property, and B, for foreigners to buy into it. So they've created all sorts of thresholds for people to meet, but there's also big models like the Andelsbolig apartments, and this is a kind of interesting historic concept actually in Denmark, based on the old agricultural model whereby farmers that sort of all worked land near each other would become shareholders in common property like a dairy, for example, or an abattoir. So it was a kind of property shareholder system that was created hundreds of years ago that they've now transferred into the property market. So it's a way of keeping house prices down in the centre of big cities by enabling people, rather than to buy, for example, a flat, they'll buy a share of a building that gives them the right to live in one of the flats within it. And that means you get families working in key sectors that can get a four-bedroom, very nice apartment in central Copenhagen for about $300,000. It's pretty incredible given the sorts of prices that we're looking at here in Australia.
Do you have confidence that we can turn this around?
You know, I think we can because we care about it. You know, I think there are a lot of issues that there is apathy about and towards. I think all Australians, regardless of where you sit on the political spectrum or the demographic spectrum, feel invested in this issue. I think what we do know, and this is what we were told in Denmark, is don't wait for the politicians to solve it because they won't.
No, waiting, not always a good idea. Hamish, thank you for your time.
PK, thank you very much. It's lovely to chat. Have a happy budget night.
Yeah, I'll try. That's Hamish McDonald, a reporter with ABC's Foreign Correspondent and, of course, a regular here at RN. And the home show of Foreign Correspondent Special will be on ABC TV at 9 p.m. straight after the budget.